The name Hannah, as perhaps some of you are aware, carries the meaning of favor or grace. And certainly Hannah that we're reading about here in 1 Samuel, she had looked to the Lord for grace and favor. And the Lord had bestowed that grace and favor upon her. If you're aware, as I'm sure many of you are, of the context here, she had been praying for a child, and the Lord granted her her request. Her heart is filled now with thoughts that will not be repressed. She hasn't forgotten what the Lord has done. She is full of what we could call holy joy. And you and I ought to never forget what the Lord has done for our soul. And when we do that with gratitude, we remember him, it does bring a gladness to our hearts. And thanksgiving for what he has done is a very important part of our lives as Christians. And we do trust today that as we meet here, that the Lord will help us to give thanks to him. The hymn says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good." Or the scripture says rather, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good." There's one thing here that is very notable. Well, there are several things. One of the things that is very notable with Hannah is that there is no sign of vindictiveness towards Peninnah, who did have children, and she, in chapter 1 and verse 6, she had taunted Hannah. Not easy to handle. She had taunted Hannah, but Hannah now, I have to say as I read this passage and the previous verses, her heart is full. Folks, she is rejoicing, but the secret here is, and I'm speaking to my own heart as much as to each person that is listening, she's rejoicing not so much in the gift. Of course, she's delighted she's got this child. But she's rejoicing in the giver. She's rejoicing in the Lord. And there is great emotion evident in these verses. She takes the child Samuel and she hands him over to the Lord. If you look in chapter 1 and verse 11, now Hannah, she spake in her heart. She's seeking the Lord here, but she says there in verse 11, she says, "Give unto thine handmaid a man-child, and I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life." And then at the end of the chapter, we read the verses there where it talks about the word lent, or dedicated, or handed over to the Lord all the days of his life. Her heart is full. She loves her son. She's filled with gladness in the Lord. There is that note of triumph with her. And we have in verses 1 through to the end of verse 10 in chapter 2 what is known as Hannah's song. Hannah's song. So as we ask, where did she get this joyfulness from? And let's be frank, we all want it. And in 2022, it's quite absent at times in some circles. And people don't like not feeling joyful. And I think as we look here at her song, maybe we will be helped along the way to joyfulness. Obviously, her focus is upon the Lord. She's not full of self. Are full of foolish pride. It doesn't seem that there's any indication she's going to behave arrogantly and foolishly the way Peninnah did. But she's full of the Lord. And I want to look with you this morning, and I trust that it will help you. I want to look with you at Hannah's joy in the Lord. Hannah's joy in the Lord. I want to say, first of all, and I'm sure that everyone will agree with me as you read these verses, she certainly is glad in her heart. Notice here that she's joyful because of God's holiness. If you look there in verse 2, it says, "There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God." She's acknowledging here that the source of her comfort is Him. It is Him. Now, unsaved people, while they may respect gospel churches, and they may respect, and many do respect, the fact that the gospel is preached, the holiness of God ought to be a terror to them. Because God being holy, He cannot look upon sin. And men and women who are not saved are still in their sin. But you know, it is God's holiness that you and I can be joyful in today. Maybe you would turn in your Bible there to the book of Exodus, chapter 15. They're singing here. Another one of the great songs of the Bible. It says in the book of Revelation that they sing in heaven the song of Moses and the Lamb. We can understand them singing about the Lamb, but they're singing in heaven Moses' song. And here it is in Exodus chapter 15. "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath He thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song." Their devotion is outstanding at this point. Their deliverance is something which is very much on their thoughts. And it seems as they go forward that evidently their dependence will continue to be upon Him. Now, we know that changed with many of them. But then they were human, and they were not careful, and we need to be careful, or our thoughts can change. If you look at verse 11, it says, "Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods?" And if you see where it says among the gods there, it literally refers to among the mighty ones. Whoever the leaders might be, however powerful or lauded they may seem to be, what are they to thee? It says, "Who is like thee, glorious in holiness?" You see, they're glad now and they're rejoicing in the holiness of God. You see, God can never do anything that would go against His holiness. And Moses here and those with him, they're rejoicing in God's holiness. There's another verse over there in Isaiah chapter 6. It says over there in Isaiah chapter 6. Quite a familiar chapter. Maybe you're familiar with it. Verse 3 says, "And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." But then you need to compare what the speaker here says with verse 5. "Then said I," recognize the holiness of God and acknowledge that. "Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." The seeing and acknowledging and focusing upon the holiness of God helped him to see his own unworthiness, and that's a very important matter. It helped him to see his own unworthiness. Now, the fact that he was feeling unworthy here did not nullify his service. But rather, if you read on down, it says that there was that live coal from off the altar that was laid upon his mouth. And it goes on to say in verse 9, "And he said, Go and tell this people. Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. That certainly was the speaker's experience as he went forward. But important to note there that what light Isaiah here was focused upon was the holiness of God. And as he went forward, you'll not see here an Isaiah that is reluctant or downcast very often. Now, he was sometimes. But his gladness here was in the holiness of God. And today, you and I, as believers, you and I can have joy in God's holiness. Because we know that God cannot do anything against his holiness. And when he's promised to answer prayer for us, he will answer. Now, it may not be what we asked. It may be something that is long in coming. But at least we can joy in knowing that we're heard. Ever think of that? Joy in knowing that we're heard. That's not something that has to wait. You can hear today, we gathered out last Wednesday night to pray for lots of boys and girls that we don't know. But we know he heard. And we're trusting that he will bring them in. And you and I can, with a joyful, thankful heart, look to him today for even hearing our prayer, certainly for deliverance of some kind. We mentioned at the very beginning, consciously, that Hannah's name means grace or favor. We can all recall that. God has shown us favor in innumerable occasions. And if you today and I want holiness, want gladness and joy in our hearts, we can do no better than Hannah long ago who thought of God's holiness. She could have thought, first of all, of his might, and there's nothing wrong with that, but it was his holiness that she was attracted to, and her focus was upon. I want to say this today, that God's dealings with his church are always carried out in holiness, all down through the generations. And in this holiness, you'll notice there that it is a holiness apart in verse 2, because she said, there's none. Didn't she say that in verse 2, chapter 2, verse 2? There is none beside thee. There is none beside thee. In all of her experience, she sees his perfection. Now, think of Exodus 20, where it says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And God knows we are capable of worshiping other gods. We could worship the God of culture, the God of sport. We could worship the God of materialism. And there's a very big danger for us. But here we have Hannah's secret to worshiping well. Remember the title that we're looking at this morning, Hannah's Joy in the Lord. She focused on God's holiness. And when we do that, it affects us inevitably. Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 13. These are the words that we read. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. And here's what they've done. And hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Now, please note that he says here, excuse me, for my people have done this. Is that not worshipping another god? They've hewed them out, those broken cisterns. That's what the reference is to, which can hold no water. In the same book, Jeremiah chapter 17 and the verse 13, says, O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. You see, what the Bible is showing us here, folks, there's no good wells in the world. There's plenty of wells that will offer you something, but there's no good wells. He is the well of living waters. And a broken cistern that we read about there is something which does not deliver. I don't know if I said to you before or not, but out at my mom's house, there's just a few acres there, six, I think, and there's a man who put some cattle on it every year. And there are a couple of cisterns for the cattle. And I one day noticed several cattle all gathered around this cistern, and they were nosing each other about, and they looked a little bit not knowing what to do. So I went over. There's no water in it. Now, there's nothing wrong with the supply, but the cistern was broken. The cistern was broken, and therefore there was nothing there to satisfy. And so it is with the world. All the cisterns in the world are broken. And there's no joy in empty wells. And that is what Hannah is saying here. She says, there's none beside thee. But she goes a little bit further than that. And she says, neither is there any rock like our God. She's feeling now that he's absolutely and totally reliable. Absolutely and totally reliable. The hymn writer said, O safe to the rock that is higher than I. Another writer said, Jesus is a rock in a weary land. You and I know that. We've proved it in the past. And we struggled on, and here we are today. And we're being reminded through his word again that he still is that rock. There's no one like him. And folks, we all want joyfulness in our hearts. When you think of a rock, and we don't have a lot of time this morning to go into all of this, you can think of shelter and defense. You can even think of it as a fortress. In the Psalm 121 and verse 5, it says, the Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The reference here is to the Lord being that shelter for his people. Maybe you see trouble coming. And maybe, like so many other people, there's a great deal of anxiety attached with what you see in the future. And because the world is broken, and because of sin, the world is never going to be any different. And I mentioned earlier on that how joyful we could be if it wasn't for situations and circumstances. But you see, while we can find happiness and, yes, a degree of gladness in many things. Some are on holidays right now. Some are going tomorrow. Some will be going in the coming weeks. And it'll be a nice time. But this is different. This is a gladness that had her, this woman Hannah, very gladly obey what she had told the Lord. She said, you give him to me and I'll give him to you. It's easy to say that. This person told me one time that before they were saved, they kept saying to the Lord when they felt convicted and there was some kind of issue or crisis in their life, they said, you do this for me, Lord, and I'll get saved. And I don't know how many times the Lord in mercy did that for them. But then when they got what they wanted, they just forgot about him. Now, eventually they got saved. And they've been saved now for a long time. But isn't it easy just to forget what he has done? I think today when we look at this passage, if we think of her here, she's joyful because of God's holiness. It's been emphasized here in this chapter. And in this verse, she went to a great length. You know, there is none holy as the Lord, but for there is none beside thee, and neither is there any rock like our God. She's full of joy because she's full of the Lord. And thinking of his holiness. And I trust that all of us, there are people listening in other places, or who will listen in other places, but we pray especially for all our friends here in Ackley. That's my responsibility. That all of us will have joy in the Lord. In his holiness, please, while you can, enjoy other things, and I do, as well as you, remember this, that there has to be that real joyfulness in the Lord. But that will make us like Hannah, you see. It'll make us want to give. Because she gave her son Samuel here. And what a man he was. He was the hingepin in the whole generation. And she was just a woman who was mocked by Eli in one of his days of foolishness when he said he thought she was drunk. She was mocked by Peninnah. But the Lord heard. And you know the secret of all of this? You can look there with me and see what it says in verse 15 towards the end. Poured out my soul before the Lord. What was it? Folks, what a great place to be in. Woman was in need like all the rest of us in some way or another. But she poured out her heart before the Lord, and the Lord answered in a remarkable way, and her heart is full of... Now, there would be ups and downs ahead like every life. But she didn't lose this. And when you and I want gladness in our hearts, we think of giving. Well, I'll just mention them. What about giving our time? The meetings. Get as many as we can. What about our substance? We know this congregation does give very well. What about our talents? You think they're not much? Well, why don't we give them to him? What did Hannah have apart from her prayer? The promise of her son, but she had no son to give. Give our talents to the Lord. Give our thoughts to the Lord. And just as Hannah gave joyfully and was joyful, you and I can give joyfully today. And I trust that the Lord will help us to do that. She was joyful. We're looking here at Hannah's gladness or joyfulness in the Lord. She was joyful because of God's holiness. And when you think of that, and we're still thinking here of the holiness, look at verse 3. There was wisdom attached to it. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. She's looking here to God as one who is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of her heart. What's happening here? You see, way back, she meant what she said. She meant what she said. It wasn't just, give me a son, Lord, and I'll dedicate him to you, and then just forget about it. She meant it, what she said. And she knows that God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And I'm sure here, as she reflected, she was very contented, brethren and sisters. She found great contentment because the Lord had answered prayer for her in a remarkable way. She kept her word and her heart was full of joy, and nothing can make you more contented than that. Wouldn't matter what else she had. And as you and I go out today and tomorrow, let's expect and look for his hand in our lives. Maybe something you've been praying for a long time. Well, the Lord knows. That's what that verse 3 shows us here. Thou art a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. Her actions were weighed. They were sincere. Whenever she prayed, she was sincere. She's understandably pleased with Samuel. But here, there's a deep joy in dedicating him to the world. The world would have a Christian, and I'm talking about the system there, the world system, it would have you and me to be reluctant givers to the Lord. To just do whatever we do out of a sense of duty, or maybe people expect it of us, or maybe just give whatever we have to give, whether it's time or talents or substance, whatever, out of a feeling that, well, it's required of us. What about doing it joyfully? Doing it joyfully. That will make all of the difference. What an example this lady was. She was joyful because of God's holiness, but she was joyful because of God's readiness. If you look there from verse 3 right on through to verse 6, you will see that she's now passing to God's dealings in providence and grace. Some interesting words are used there. In verse 4, for instance, it says, the bows of the mighty men are broken. Now, where it says there, the bows, it refers to all their military machinery or might, to all their military might. And it says here that the bows of the mighty men are broken, and the word broken literally means to be smashed in pieces. In other words, the Lord, she moves now to the Lord, is able to hinder the enterprises of the wicked. And how often has the Lord done that? Over there in the Psalm number 18 this time. Psalm 18, verse 29. Here's, "For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God I have leaped over a wall." Verse 32. "It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect." And what the psalmist experience was, has been the experience of so many. In difficult circumstances, God has made a way. In feelings of oppression, God has made a way. We often feel very weak in faith and weak in resolve and ready to stumble, but God then comes along and he breaks, as it were, the bows in sunder, all that is against us. Very interesting what we read in Genesis 49. Concerning young Joseph, Jacob here is speaking in prophecy, and he says here in verse 22, "Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall." Then it says, "The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him, but his bow abode in strength." Now, where it says they're abode in strength, the word strength is a word that is it's one of those words in Hebrew which is very, very poetical. And it refers to a river that flows on and on and on and on and on. And it keeps on flowing. It says, but his bow or his strength abode in strength. What does it mean when it says his bow abode in strength and his arms were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob? I think you know, or some of you are aware, I think I mentioned this some years ago, that in those days to train young archers, just when there were wee fellas, or maybe there were girls there too, but certainly wee fellas, they would come and they couldn't pull the bow because it was too hard. And it had to be that so that it would put the arrow, send the arrow forth at the right speed to do damage. But the wee fellow would hold the bow, the string with the arrow here, hold the bow, and his dad or whoever was training him, some other man, would put his hands over his and do this and let go. And the young fellow would learn from him. In other words, his hands were strengthened as he trained by the hands of stronger men. And here when we read about Joseph, his bow, his arms were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. What a lesson there is when we think of God's steadfastness. God is able to come to you. We're just like Joseph. Plenty of things come along and they discourage us and knock us back a bit. And sometimes they upset us. And sometimes even when it comes to actual wickedness, and which I have to say again in fairness, as far as persecution is concerned at the moment, we don't experience a lot of that against God's work here. But isn't it in all of those situations that God comes along and he puts his hands over our hands and he strengthens us? And the Bible shows us that our weapons, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not bows as in bows with a pointy arrow, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You can think of strongholds today that might be holding you back. And they're hindering you from going on with the Lord. You don't know what to do. Well, Hannah here, in her joyfulness, she talks about, she's joyful because of God's holiness, but she's certainly joyful, looking at verses 3 through 6, because of God's steadfastness, or God's, I should say, God's readiness. God's readiness to help her and to help his people. It's as though she almost knew the great difficulties that Samuel was going to face. She wasn't stupid, and I'm sure she had a good idea that the way ahead for him would not be easy. But then she knew that the Lord was ready. She proved that. And she was glad because of that. And dear friend, he can help you to persevere. And he helped you and me to go on to make the crooked paths straight. We always want to see the path straight away and down yonder, when he just makes it straight here where we are now. And one step at a time. And he can make the rough places smooth. And whenever all around us seems to be totally, almost totally given to sin, remember his readiness that Hannah rejoiced in. If you look there in 7b, it says, "The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and he lifteth up." He's still able to bring low that which is against you, and he's still able to lift you up. 1 Samuel 1:15 says, "And Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my heart unto the Lord." That again is the answer. Spending time pouring her heart out before the Lord. So Hannah here, joyful in the Lord. Joyful in the holiness of God. Joyful in God's readiness. But joyful in God's unchangeableness. Look at verse 10. "The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken in pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king, and exalt the horn of his anointed." Now the horn here is an emblem of strength and of dominion and glory. She's obviously a woman that is filled with the Holy Spirit, and she's thinking here about the future. Again, she's thinking, God's not going to change. But very interesting here in her thoughts, when she says here, she talks here about his king. Is she talking about David or Hezekiah? Josiah? Would we not see Hannah here having a glimpse of Christ's day, the coming king, the king who's coming? And certainly, as she looks away out into the future, she's showing here, that, saying here that God will never change. If it is true, as many believe it is, that that's what she was speaking about here, "He shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed," and the thought being there of strength and dominion and glory. Surely that all belongs unto Christ. It was quite a while from Hannah walked this earth until Jesus came. And yet she knew that God would be unchangeable. And folks, he's still unchangeable. He's still ready. He's still holy. He still help you. And I trust today that you're knowing joyfulness in the Lord, and that if you're not, that you will. Remember, this is her song. This was Hannah's song. I trust that we all have that song today in him. And if we maybe do not in the way we want to, that the Lord will give us a heart to praise him today.